The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for March 25th, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad is rejecting Obama administration requests to cut farmer subsidies. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will talk with University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good about the time window for marketing old crop corn. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
On this Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, May wheat, the settlement there at 5.55 down 33, July 5.66 down 33. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat at 5.08 down 27, July 5.20 and 3 quarters down 26 and 3 quarters. May corn 3.85 and 3 quarters down 8, July 3.96 and a quarter down 8, and December 4.17 and a half down 7 and 3 quarters. May beans 9.51 down 16, July 9.46 down 17 and 3 quarters, August 9.27 down 18, November 8.80 down 16 and a half, January 8.90, and they were down 17 on the day. May soybean meal 294.30 down 90, May soybean oil at 33.37 up 1. April live cattle 84.62 and a half down 82 and a half. March feeders 93.75 down 25. April lean hogs at 61.25, and they were down 10 on the day. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago. Taking a look at the outside markets, May crude oil, the settlement at 52.77, down 121. June, 54.19, down 144. April ethanol, the settlement 158, down 2 4/10. The April RBOB at 149 2/10, and it is down 9/10. April heating oil, 146, down 3 9/10. In the silver contract, the May, the settlement 1343, and it was up 8. The gold contract for the month of April, 935.80, and it was up $12 for the settlement. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 75.80, down 79 points. The U.S. dollar, 83.80, down 32. Taking a look at Mike Sola's extended highlights for the two-state region, he says a storm system will take aim on the southeastern states for Friday through Sunday, with much of Illinois and Indiana being impacted by the northern reaches of the storm. Locations along the Ohio River may receive as much as 3 inches of rain over the weekend. Temperatures will remain near or slightly above average for the final days of March. A brief shot of colder air is expected for the first few days of April. The combination of cool temperatures and damp to very wet fields will keep any pre-planting field work to a minimum. Major to moderate flooding will continue in a few locations along the Illinois, Fox, and Mississippi rivers in Illinois and in the Kankakee and Wabash rivers in Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, before we jump into the markets on the grain side, let's take a quick look over at CME Livestock, where we did get a hog and pigs poll today for on Friday. Is there anything in there of note?
Okay. My general impression is the hog numbers should be down.
Mm-hmm.
We are suffering a great deal from the new political winds in Washington about antibiotics and feed, only slaughtering U.S.-born livestock, which is basically anti any trade deal that we've ever seen over the last 25 years. And we are still suffering from a slowdown in unemployment, which is always hard for the livestock industry to survive. But the numbers, we think, are down. And, you know, rightfully so, because it's been extremely unprofitable to raise hogs.
All right. Let's turn our attention then to the grains, Paul. It was sort of a lackluster market, not doing a lot. And then around mid-session, a story came out on the CFTC. What was that about, and what did it do to the marketplace?
Well, there is this rumor that, and it probably had some of the many factors this morning, but there is a rumor that the CFTC is going to create this exemption that hedge funds had from being a hedger to a speculative limits on positions they can hold. Earlier in the presidential campaign, it was brought up and talked about the tremendous speculative limits that occurred in the crude oil contract and helped create some of the bubble that it took place in the stock and price action problems. In other words, the gasoline at $4 a gallon created some of the housing problems, and there is political pressure to limit speculation. And, of course, I think this is one of the strategies by Washington to limit, you know, how much speculative power those hedge funds have. Hedge funds aren't very popular as well in Washington.
And then I guess you pile on top of that wetter conditions across parts of the wheat belt. It's probably no surprise that front end May lost 27.
We've had a tremendous run up in the last 10 days to 2 weeks, and there people have taken advantages of it by selling out long positions in corn, soybeans, and wheat, as well as moving tons of cash corn, soybeans, and wheat in the marketplace. It is a wetter forecast. There is going to be a major planted acreage guest estimate by the USDA. And as a result of that, with the strength in the stock market, also the labor problems and the strike problems in Argentina, we did get the feeling that there would be profit-taking, you know, yesterday and today to some extent. The market did sell off waiting, and with the wet weather, of course, more beans being planted. China has basically stopped or withdrawn out of the old crop bean market for a while because the crush margins seem to be puny. Cash corn movement has been extremely good. So we are waiting for the other shoe to drop. There is some positive news. It seems like Egypt is starting to come in the U.S. corn market. Cheap corn and $50 a barrel crude oil is very positive to the ethanol industry. And so there is bright spots, and maybe the corn acreage won't be as large as some of the earlier forecasts. Those all add up to maybe some stability in the marketplace. The market is a lot better than it was 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, 30 days ago, and so we are taking a pause here in the marketplace.
It does appear the highs are in for the week, and maybe better prices will have to wait pending next Tuesday and thereafter.
That's right, and of course the wheat area has been extremely dry, one of the driest early winters in modern history. and with this weather forecast that they have, we'll put a kind of a temporary top. However, spring flooding in the Dakotas and the upper Midwest probably means less spring wheat, but that also augurs maybe for more oil seeds being planted there.
We've talked a lot on the air about numbers, guesstimates for both beans and corn. We haven't done much of the spring wheat. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, 30 days ago, it was probably a toss-up to which would be planted wheat or spring wheat. And the general impression is that if they can plant it, they'll plant it, and if they can't, they'll plant the soybeans. Also, in our company meetings, the rotation, you know, one-third corn, one-third wheat, one-third soybeans seem to be an extremely popular trade-off in those areas. And it's still very early to make those big decisions about shifting one to the other, but this spring wheat, this flooding in the Red River Valley is something to be noted.
All right, Paul, thank you very much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And he joins us every Wednesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Ken Conrad says he will not propose cuts in U.S. crop subsidies for fiscal year 2010, despite White House proposals to cut payments to big farmers. The North Dakota Democrat said it would be a mistake to cut farm supports during a recession. Conrad told reporters yesterday that he would save $2.5 billion through cuts in two land stewardship programs, crop insurance subsidies, and the Market Access Program, which shares the cost of building foreign demand for high-value U.S. farm exports. U.S. President Barack Obama's administration hopes to assemble a proposal to resolve a trucking dispute with Mexico before he visits the country in mid-April. Last week, Mexico imposed higher tariffs on an estimated $2.4 billion worth of goods from the U.S. in retaliation for a decision by Congress to end a pilot program to allow Mexican trucks to operate in the United States. American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman urged the Obama administration to resolve the issue as quickly as possible to avoid harm to U.S. farmers hit by the tariffs. Mexico wants to work with the U.S. to resolve the dispute, but rejects the explanation that Congress shut down the program for safety concerns. Obama is scheduled to visit Mexico April 16th and 17th. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack yesterday said that Dave White will become the permanent chief of the U.S. Agriculture Department's Natural Resources Conservation Service. White, who was named acting chief on January 21st, is a career conservationist with the agency. The NRCS has about 12,000 employees and an annual budget of more than $3 billion. New Zealand meat exporters are increasingly concerned that the U.S. country of origin labeling law governing meat and a wide range of other foods will cut demand for New Zealand hamburger meat. Currently, 90% of the New Zealand beef exported to the U.S. is manufacturing beef that is ground and blended with U.S. supplies. According to a spokesman for Meat and Wool New Zealand, some U.S. retailers are saying they are reluctant to use ground beef that does not originate in North America. The loss of the U.S. market would have a significant effect on the New Zealand cattle industry. Europe and South Korea are nearing completion of a bilateral free trade agreement. Reports from Seoul indicate that just as in Korea's pact with the U.S. Problems remain regarding trade in automobiles and parts. However, there are indications that those sticking points could be resolved during the G20 Financial Summit in London next week. South Korea is keen to increase trade with the European Union, which already is Korea's second largest trading partner following China. The U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission is considering major changes in how swap dealers obtain exemptions from speculative position limits, a move that could force the agency to also consider imposing position limits for all commodities. The CFTC, in a preliminary proposal released yesterday on hedge exemptions, had asked the public to comment on a wide range of issues, including broad position limits in the commodities markets. Specifically, the agency is thinking about eliminating hedge exemptions for swap dealers and replacing it with a stricter new type of limited risk management exemption, which would impose additional reporting requirements and force dealers to certify that their clients who speculate off exchange on commodity prices do not exceed position limits. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Farmers have been sellers of old crop corn on the recent rally. Todd Gleason reports that's fine as long as they're not clearing out the bin.
University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says farmers, despite the recent rally in the corn market, should meter out old crop sales over the next couple of months in order to catch the seasonal rally that usually takes place during the spring months.
No, I think on old crop corn, I'm more of the mind that right now we've had a good rally. We've still got a strong basis. Let's start metering out what our old crop inventory is. Would I sell every? Depending on what percentage of your crop you still own, you have to condition it by that. But I wouldn't necessarily want to just one day sell everything because I think there is still enough uncertainty about inventories, acreage, the stock market, the value of the dollar. All those things are still going to influence the price of corn and soybeans as we move forward. So I think we have to be of the mind of, on old crop, let's just kind of spread out sales over the next couple of months, as it looks like the window, and get that taken care of.
Typical seasonal trend.
But also just some, spreading of your risk rather than saying I'm going to make a decision one day to do it all. I think we are at risk a little bit here on the bases on both corn and soybeans, because we think that there's still a fair amount of unpriced inventory out there, that if it all tries to come to market at one time, we are going to see some pressure on the basis.
So the risk is twofold in the old crop corn. The price goes down in Chicago, and the price goes down even more in the countryside because all the farmers try to sell at once. UVI's Daryl Good suggests at a minimum it might pay, actually, to wait to make old crop sales until at least after the March Planting Intentions report is released. In it, USDA will predict how many acres of corn U.S. farmers might plant this spring. If the number is really low, as some have suggested, it might just rally new and old crop corn prices. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Let's begin with how the phones have been. I expect that they had been busy for several days, perhaps late last week, but they're tapering off now?
Yeah, you know, Monday, Tuesday last week, they were pretty busy. Wednesday was dead, Thursday, Friday busy again, and then coming in Monday, we're busy for the first half of the day until we lost everything that the overnights gave us, and then it's been pretty dead there ever since.
And do you sense that, that producers are now beginning to hold out for better prices?
Yeah, I think for the most part, the producer got a decent amount of what he needed or wanted to move here before planting, moved here a price, and now they're more concerned about getting the what they sold into the elevator here and then also looking towards the fields and starting to get the planters ready to go and you know, side dress bars on and whatnot.
So what are they looking for, 4.25 now?
Yeah, it seems like because we did jump up there on a couple different occasions last week and then even on the overnights for some open orders on Sunday night, and we did get a decent amount of $4 cash sales on the books. Our base has been faded back here. Now it looks like that my next stack is between $4 and 4.25 is where I have a decent amount of bushels accumulated now.
Do you suspect they're going to get that 4.25?
I think it's going to be awful hard, actually. I think we'll find out a lot next week and next week's report to see if we have any indication, any strength. But it just seems like here near term, especially in our area, bases were about 10 cents stronger than they a week to 10 days ago than they are now, even going out to the deferreds. So not only do they have to put on that quarter on the market, they also have to put in another 10 cents because basis slid back that much. So you really need about 30 to 35 cent rally in this board to get to those type of levels.
In addition to the planting intentions report next Tuesday, we have quarterly grain stock reports. What do you think those might reveal?
I'm going to guess that, in my opinion, is that they'll keep on increasing our corn carryout number. It just seems like there's still quite a bit of corn out there in the countryside, and I think it's growing daily with some of the feed usage, I think, being ratcheted down here.
So far more unpriced this year than last year?
You know, we discussed that this morning here, and our opinion was in the office is that they're probably on schedule, if not a little bit above schedule, what they usually do on the bean side. On the corn side, though, I think they're way behind schedule. Last week helped probably get them closer to what they have done in years past. But, you know, those bushels that usually move in January, if they weren't on the books prior to, say, October, November, they didn't come into the elevator. So our January book and February book were extremely small compared to years past.
Do you think that producers will let it go by June 1, or will there be a sort of a bottleneck of corn come harvest time?
I think there's going to be a second harvest if we don't see prices get back to that, like you said, that 4.25 to 4.50 area. I think there's going to be a second harvest there to that end of June, July, first part of August area.
Turn your attention to beans. What are you seeing there?
Beans, it seems like at least basis here on the beans have bottomed out, maybe even starting to strengthen. We're starting to see some signs from the producer or from the processors here in Indiana that they do need some beans for that April, May time frame, that their coverage isn't quite as strong as it was here in March. So I think guys are starting to, and the guys are still who didn't get on the bandwagon for $10 last time, kind of scared by this fall off in prices here. Now I'm putting the orders back, and I think if you get the $10, I bet in our area at least, a lot of the beans in the country that are still there, which I don't think there's too many, but that are still there, are probably going to be let go.
Very quickly, your prices.
Climbers corn, $3.81. Delphi beans, $4.49.
Thank you very much. Matt. That's Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll be back to talk about the agricultural weather. It's National Lobster Newberg Day. The dish was perhaps invented by Ben Wenberg, a sea captain in the fruit trade between Cuba and New York. He first demonstrated the dish at Delmonico's restaurant in New York City, where the creation was added to the menu as lobster a la Wenberg. Months later, after an argument with Charles Delmonico, Wenberg was banished from the restaurant, and Delmonico flipped a few letters in Wenberg's name on the menu. Lobster Newberg was born. It's also Pecan Day. In 1775, George Washington planted pecan trees, some of which still survive at Mount Vernon. The trees were supposedly a gift to Washington from Thomas Jefferson. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, William Keith Brooks was born. An American zoologist, he was a champion for the conservation of the Chesapeake Bay oyster. In 1867, Ferdinand Runge died. He was a German chemist who developed a method for obtaining sugar from beet juice. And in 1914, Norman Ernest Borlaug was born. He was one who laid the groundwork of the so-called Green Revolution, the agricultural technological advance that promised to alleviate world hunger. And he developed a wheat-rye hybrid with higher yield and protein content. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, Senior Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Boy, we had some serious showers pass through our area overnight, and more on the way as well.
Well, we do have another storm system that we need to keep an eye on. This next event is going to be rather dramatic out in the plains. And when it comes rolling into the Midwest, it'll probably set off another round of severe thunderstorms, I do believe. The storm's dynamics are really shaping up to be a pretty impressive event. We're going to see a return of warmer air into the eastern part of the country at the same time this next storm system will come with a favorable amount of cold air aloft. And you know as well as I do that when you put those two kinds of conditions together, you usually get a pretty serious amount of severe weather to evolve. And I think that that is something that we may very well see across the Midwest. And this will take place probably Friday into Saturday, so we'll keep a close eye on that time period. In the meantime, if you have interest in winter wheat country out there in the plains, it's going to be kind of interesting. In fact, probably more so from a livestock perspective. We're going to have a little blizzard evolve across the region out there from probably 6 to 12 inches of snow and some 12 to 20-inch amounts in some areas, and there will be winds blowing 25 to 45 miles an hour, and it's just going to be downright nasty. There's going to be road closures and all kinds of problems out there, and of course the young livestock could be threatened pretty seriously by the storm.
A year ago in the spring, the weather trended wet, and that pattern just was never broken throughout the planting season. Are you seeing similarities from a year ago, or is this a different situation developing?
Well, it certainly is starting to look pretty similar. We've got quite a bit of moisture out there right now, but I do think things will change as time moves forward. I expect a little mini ridge of high pressure to build up across the Delta and maybe a small portion of the lower Midwest as we get deeper into the month of April. This will probably be in the second half of the month, actually. And as that evolution takes place, this frequent storm pattern that we're seeing right now will be lifted to the north. Now, that's good and bad. The good news is that the storms will not be able to produce the kind of heavy general soakings that we saw last year on a frequent basis. But with the storm frequency being fairly high, moving across the northern parts of the Midwest, each one of these events will trail a cool front into the heart of the Midwest, and that's still going to generate some shower and thunderstorm activity periodically. But we're probably not going to see the big heavy soakings of rain. We're probably also going to see a little bit of a warmer bias to temperatures, especially in the lower half of the Midwest as we get into the second half of April and May. So it'll become a better environment for planting and early season crop development from, let's say, Kansas eastward across southern Illinois into southern Ohio and Kentucky. But you get north of that region and the frequency of rain and the significance of the rain events will still be fairly high or fairly significant, and so delays in field work are probable, especially from parts of Iowa and South Dakota through Wisconsin and probably into parts of Michigan. So kind of a mixed bag coming up this season, but we are going to have to deal with some rain here initially.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.